Yeah, I work for CSIRO, which is Australia's national science organisation. In particularly, I work for the Textile and Fibre Technology Division, OSIRO. And this work is a collaboration between that division and the Plant Industries Division of CSIRO. So just a little bit of background. There are currently concerns relating to high mic, short fibre content NEPs in Australian cotton. And there's been some evidence to show that management practices that force open immature bowls, certainly to try and maximise yield, and to even to be implemented to reduce micronaire. Obviously, there's potential there to for such practices to detrimentally affect fibre quality. And obviously, harvest aid timing is something that can augment that practice. There's quite a lot in the literature and farm notes and all that sort of stuff that suggests that harvest age should be applied at 60% open bowls or when the majority of bowls are mature to maximise yield and fibre quality. Nonetheless, we decided to take a little closer look at this practice for one of our very popular high yielding, high input irrigated Gossypium hirsutum varieties. With the idea to measure yield and traditional fibre quality parameters, as well as some new novel fibre quality parameters via some new instrumentation that we've developed at CSIRO, notably maturity via our polarised light maturity tester, and linear density of fineness via our cotton scan linear density instrument. We also wanted to try and look at how that relates to fibre NEPs. In particular, having a bit of a look at the interaction between those treatments and the effect of the link cleaning in the gin. And something that's a little new for us is also taking that material right through and looking at greige yarn and knit dyed fabric, and just see that the problems that we expect for early, early defoliation practice. We just want to see if we can measure the manifestations of those problems. So just a quick wrap on the experiment. That's the variety we looked at. That's a high-yielding irrigated variety, Bulgar 2 Roundup Ready variety. And it was established and grown with full irrigation and thorough insect control. That's the chemical harvest aid mix that we used, which is fairly normal for us. Leaf drop and bowl opener, and we applied that every 5 days from 143 days after sowing. So we had 8 treatments, ripped 4 times as an RCBD, and that's how we analysed that information. And we harvested it with a commercial spindle harvester, and we ginned it using a 20-saw gin without lint cleaning. So some results. No big surprises, but our earliest defoliation practice came in at about 30% open bowls, right up to compared to our control, where we did harvest at where just about all the bowls were open. And as expected, lint yield plateaued at around the 60-65%, which is nice to see. For traditional fibre quality parameters, HVI length and strength, there was a slight difference in length by 0.03 inches from about 80% open bowls, although it was interesting to note that there was no significant difference at all between those harvest aid treatments for fibre strength, for bundle strength. Fibre maturity, I've put HVI micronair in there with its component values, which are cotton, linear density or fineness, as it's sometimes talked about, millitex are the units for that, and also maturity ratio as measured by our polarised light microscope. And it's interesting to note that the maturity range was a lot lower than what we thought. We thought we'd have certainly for that early defoliated stuff, we'd have a mean maturity ratio to be a lot lower than close to 0.9. Notably though, certainly for those early treatments up to about 42% open bowls, there was an effect on micronair Cotylinear density obviously is being the major component or effective component to change that microneedle. The link cleaning interaction, as you all know, it's the link cleaner that introduces the most NEPS. It's the most mechanically intensive process in the ginning. So we have a little link cleaner that we manufactured a little while ago, and so we subjected our treatments to 1 and 2 passages through that link cleaner at fairly standard setup specs. And certainly our little link cleaner is removing trash at a high rate for each passage. Although it was interesting to note that the dominant, and as expected, it was the lint cleaning that introduced NEPS the most at about 100 counts per gram per lint cleaner passage. And it was interesting to see that for our treatments, there was no real practical interaction between treatments and the amount of lint cleaning. And you know, there was some slight trend showing that the immature stuff was a little less, had a little less NEP, but there was no real significant differences in there. So the next step was we wanted to spin some yarn, and as I said, this is a little new for us. We've always spun large amounts of cotton into yarn, so we had to dust off an old miniature spinning plant that we found in the back shed there, and it hadn't been used in 30 years, and we had trouble making a decent yarn from our little spinner, and so we've made good use of the little miniature card. So our material was carded twice, and it was drawn once. We had 4 subsamples that were each drawn once on a little draw frame, and then those 4 ends were combined on a full-scale draw frame an inch through that machine. So we got a lovely end, and that end was converted into twisted roving on a full-scale fly rover, and then spun into yarn on a full-scale ring spinner. So, and I just want to note that by far the majority of Australian cotton is ring spun yarn, mostly combed ring spun yarn. So we're happy that we've got a miniature spinning protocol that sort of reflects what you'd see out there in commercial reality. That's some yarn cross sections from our treatments, and that's in line with the microneedle and linear density measurements that you saw. No surprises there, and you can see for our earliest defoliated material, those fibres in the yarn cross-section are certainly immature compared to our control. Made a 20 ticks, that's for 20 ticks ring spun yarns. I forget what that is in NE, and it was a knitting twist. The interesting thing, looking at yarn performance parameters, was that there wasn't any difference, which was quite a surprise. There's something going on here for yarn evenness, but if you look at the numbers, there doesn't seem to be any real practical difference between or over the treatments, especially for these earlier applied harvest aids. Certainly for yarn strength, which reflects HVI bundle strength, there was no difference in yarn performance, which was kind of interesting because we've had questions from growers and just generally in the industry wondering about this defoliation management so that was nice, kind of interesting to see. We then knitted up that yarn on a little knitter, and we scoured and dyed it with a reactive blue dye, 1% LS3R, which is fairly standard for looking for dead cotton or NEPS and that sort of thing. And we took some reflectance spectroscopic measurements of those fabrics, and it was here that we saw some manifestation in line with our fibre maturity numbers, which was kind of nice after seeing no differences for our yarn quality parameters. Notably, this is our C-Lab analysis for those spectroscopic for that spectroscopic data, L reflectance A and B, and we calculated the delta E, which is the difference from, and I've got the difference from our control of 100% open bowls going backwards to the most immature stuff. Anything around 1 or above 1 for the, considering the monochromatic nature of the blue dye, we were happy to report that there was In line with the low micronaire and low linear density values for those cottons, they came in to be considerably different to the other material. And that effect seemed to be the most via the colour change and not reflectance. We thought, I mean, there is a reflectance change occurring there. That material is getting darker with more mature fibre, but the most significant influence for that change in E is due to the B axis in that C-Lab colour space. So the more immature stuff's trending to be more yellow than blue. Mature stuff is more intense blue. So in conclusion, yield was significantly less for treatment supplied up to 56% up in bowls, which is kind of good to know and what we half expected, and remained constant thereafter. Our maturity stuff, our maturity range was lower than what we had expected, and certainly we did get an effect on micronaire, and linear density was the effective cause of that for anything up to 42% open bowls. Lint cleaning significantly generated NEPs at 100 counts per gram per lint cleaner passage, and we didn't really see any strong evidence that changes in fibre quality measured in the early treatments exaggerated the effect of lint cleaning on the level of NEPs and short fibre. It was nifty to see there was no impact on yarn performance, although we did see that immature cotton in that yarn manifesting itself in dye uptake up to 42% open bowls. And generally then we can say that that practice, which is fairly common and well talked about quite a lot, it looks like is a fairly safe practice. I'll leave it there and just acknowledge greatly the co-authors of the paper that'll be in the proceedings, and that's Dr. Mike Bange and Dr. Stuart Gordon, and I thank the academic input from Renee Benesluz, Jeff Naylor and Greg Constable. I thank our technical staff because a lot of this work is tedious and cross-divisional and from the field to the fabric, and a big thanks to our funding bodies. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, we just looked at NEPs, APHIS NEPs. We didn't sit down and count fabric NEPs. So, but we didn't see. I expected to see a strong interaction, especially for the immature stuff. And if you looked at the R squares on the curves, you know, you sort of had 0.2, 0.3, 0.2 as you went up the lint cleaning, which was I sort of thought that you'd have a big, you know, a lot more NEPs at that very immature end. So yeah. Yes. Oops. Right, yeah, that's pretty standard. Yep. Yep. Sorry. Another question?
I got one question. Can you give us an idea of what the distribution of the bones on the plant were? I mean, over how many nodes?
Yeah. We've got all that information. We harvested plants. We have all the information on the bowls across the plant. We've even harvested the lint on the plant, hand harvested the lint on the plant that remained after machine harvest. But I can't comment on that. I've left that data out. I've just tried to keep a stripped down, simple version. This is one season worth of data, and we've got comprehensive plant measurements. For two seasons of data that we're going to put in a better paper. So we can talk about it later if you like.
Great. Are there any other questions? Thank you, Rob.
Cool.